Brother Reverend Cranston, who is the minister of our Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church, is known to everyone here, unless you are a stranger, and perhaps some of those looking at our service online tonight. It's always a joy to welcome our brother back to this pulpit here, and I've asked him to come and to bring the word for us in this first Lord's Day evening of the new year. And so my brother is laboring through a bit of a throat problem, and so just have to ask him not to preach too loud tonight, to wear your throat out so you won't be in bad shape for your own services next Lord's Day. And I'm just going to go and get him a glass of water now. So if you see me going down and then coming back up to the pulpit, don't fear. Everything is all right. I'll be dropping that off, and then he'll be able to continue on. But brother, we love you in the Lord, and we're thankful for your faithful ministry. Pray the Lord would bless you in the word tonight.
I'd like you to turn with me this evening in the word of the Lord to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. I'd like to thank the Reverend Saunders, first of all, for the invitation to come this evening to bring the word. Also thank him for the words of welcome. It is a joy, always a joy, to be here in Toronto and renew fellowship with the congregation here. I do bring you greetings from my own congregation in Port Hope. We now enter our 23rd year of service there, and we just wonder where the time has gone. April this year will be 25 years in Canada, and it just seems like more or less 5 years ago. But we do thank you for your prayers for the work in Port Hope. We do thank you for your prayerful support and practical support, and I can assure you it's very, very much appreciated. And on behalf of my wife and I and family and congregation, we do wish everyone a very happy and blessed 2016. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I want to read just the first 9 verses. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Amen. May the Lord bless the word read tonight to our hearts, and may the Lord speak to us from this portion of Scripture this evening. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this evening, would you join with me, please, for a word of prayer. O Lord, our God and eternal Father, we're glad that this Sabbath evening we're found in the Lord's house. And though, Lord, we would say with those Emmaus disciples, the day is far spent. It is toward evening. Lord, abide with us. And dear Lord, be pleased to abide with us this evening. And grant us, Lord, the experience of those disciples. For when the Savior entered into their home and broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they saw him. O Lord, may we see thy Son tonight. As it was there, Lord, when the disciples were met, and the doors being shut for fear of the Jews. Then suddenly the Lord appeared in their midst. We read those words then with the disciples, glad when they saw the Lord. Lord, gladden our hearts tonight with a view of Christ. Bless this congregation. We thank thee for it, and for thy servants who labor here. And now, Lord God, come, I pray, and grant to me the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, I might preach the word in all sincerity. And in preaching the word, dear Lord, enable me to preach Christ. And, O Lord, to speak well of him and his finished work. For we ask all these things in the Lord's precious and peerless name. Amen. As the Lord's three privileged disciples made their way up the mount with their master, they could not have envisaged or anticipated what they would experience in that mountain and what they would see there. But Matthew does not tell the whole story, because Luke, in his gospel, informs us why they went up the mountain. We're told in Luke 9, verse 28, that they went up into a mountain to pray. So the Lord and his three disciples were going to a prayer meeting. It was quite a prayer meeting. For Peter, James, and John, for they saw things there on that mountain at that prayer meeting they had never seen before. This teaches us that when we meet with the Lord in the place of prayer, special things may take place. Things may happen in prayer meetings that we did not expect. Things may take place in prayer meetings that we have not witnessed before. For example, over in Genesis 32, there we read about Jacob, who spent the night in prayer. Of course, the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Wasn't Jacob wrestling with the Lord? The Lord wrestled with Jacob because Jacob refused to succumb and to surrender to the Lord until the Lord touched him. But there we read in Genesis 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. There Jacob wrestled all night until the Lord touched Jacob and broke him. And then Jacob had to hold on to the Lord. And the Lord said, let me go. Jacob said, not until thou dost bless me will I let thee go. And we read in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's some prayer meeting. He called it Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. When were we ever in a prayer meeting where by faith we saw the face of God? Where by faith we looked into the very face of Jehovah? That happened at a prayer meeting. Who can forget what happened when 120 believers gathered together in an upper room to pray, and they prayed until the day of Pentecost? We're told in Acts chapter 1, in verse 14. It's an interesting verse, Acts 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. So they were united, they were of one heart. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. How often do we read those two words together? Prayer and supplication. Here in Acts 1 verse 14, the word for prayer means a pouring out. A pouring out. And so those who were met in that upper room to pray, they were pouring out their hearts to God. They met for prayer and supplication with the woman, Mary, and the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And the names of those who were met in that prayer meeting are recorded here. Sometimes in our prayer meetings, there are names of believers who are not there, and they're not recorded as being at the prayer meeting. Now we know the result of that prayer meeting. We know what took place. Acts 2 and verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice they were sitting. They were sitting there in the attitude of prayer. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues or other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happened at that prayer meeting. There are times, prayer meetings, when the Lord manifests His presence and His power in a very special way. One such meeting took place on that mountain with Peter, James, and John. And you look at these 9 verses. There are a number of things to note. There was first of all the transfiguration on the mountain. Happened at a prayer meeting. The Lord revealed Himself to those disciples in a way that He had never revealed Himself before. I would want to be in a prayer meeting like that, wouldn't we? Where we see the Lord. See Him as we've never seen Him before. We notice the trembling of the men. For we are told that at that prayer meeting, when they heard the voice of God, we read, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. The fear of God descended upon that prayer meeting. Fear of God descended upon those 3 disciples. My, how we need something like that in our prayer meetings. Will there be a trembling amongst the people of God when the fear of God descends? Whenever we go to our presbytery weeks of prayer, I always bring with me a little booklet by Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell, of course, was used in the great revival in the Isle of Lewis. And my, if you want a book that stirs your heart, Read that little book. And just seems to put me in the right frame of mind when we go to the week of prayer. And you read there about the fear of God descending upon people as they gathered in the house of God. And grown men and women begin to weep. And they weep over their sin, and they suddenly see their sin as they've never seen it before. Fear of God descends. And the way Duncan Campbell put it, he says the whole atmosphere was saturated with God. Why wouldn't you love a prayer meeting like that? You love a prayer meeting where the fear of God descends. You and I know, we've been there, we've been to prayer meetings, and it's the same as the prayer meeting the week before and the prayer meeting the week before that. We notice also that when the fear of God descended upon these disciples, we're told, and Jesus came and touched them. It was the last time we were in a prayer meeting in which we felt the touch of God. Felt the touch of the Master's hand upon our cold hearts. Felt and experienced the touch of the Master upon our lips to enable us to pray. Not the kind of prayer meeting we want. That's the kind of prayer meeting Peter, James, and John experienced. When the fear of God descended, when they saw Christ in all His glory, and they felt the touch of the Master's hand. Yes, it is time to seek the Lord. And oh, when we seek the Lord, may we know the touch of the Master's hand. But I want, with the Lord's help this evening, to deal with this transfiguration on the mountain. Let us examine the events leading up to the transfiguration of Christ on the Holy Mount. That leads us, first of all, to consider the meeting with the Master. The chapter begins, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a mountain apart. There's the meeting with the Master. Now, when you look at that opening verse, it mentions 6 days. Now, after 6 days, I looked at all the Gospels, the record, certainly in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of this event. And there's nothing recorded about what took place during those 6 days. We do know what happened before that period of time. We do know that those 6 days followed the Lord's solemn conference with His disciples, including the rebuke of Peter. Then 6 days followed. There's nothing recorded about those 6 days. There's nothing recorded about anything the Lord said during those 6 days. The Lord was silent, as far as the gospel record is concerned. There's no record of the disciples doing anything in their service for the Lord. 6 days of silence. 6 days of barrenness, 6 days of fruitlessness. My, when you have 6 days of silence and no communication from heaven through the Word, when you have 6 days of not seeing anything done or accomplished for the Lord, do you know what we need? We need a meeting with the Master. Six days, for some, can turn into 6 months and 6 years. And they go 3 weeks and months and years of barrenness, fruitlessness, and silence, and no communication with God. If there's anyone here tonight and you've been there, and your 6 days has turned into 6 months and maybe into 6 years, you need a meeting with the Master. The Lord wasn't going to leave those disciples where they were after 6 days of nothing. They needed a meeting with Him. And regarding the meeting with the Master, we notice the pathway of Christ. For we read that He bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. He bringeth them up, He, Christ, the Master. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up. You see? See, whenever you have a meeting with the Master, He'll always bring you up. The devil gets you down. The world gets you down. Your problems get you down. Your difficulties get you down. Your disappointments get you down. But Jesus always brings you up. And He brought up Peter, James, and John. He bringeth them up. Are you in the slough of despond tonight? You need a meeting with the Master. Because He's the one who will bring you up. How often have you gone to a place of prayer? Maybe you didn't feel like going, but you went anyway. And you met with the Lord there, and after the prayer meeting was over, you said, "Boy, I'm glad I went tonight to the prayer meeting." Why? Because the Lord lifted you up. He lifted up your spirits, lifted up your hearts, lifted up your eyes. Lifted up those feeble hands that hang down. It's good to have a meeting with the Master. As David said, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield to me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." That's what happens when you have a meeting with the Master. And so as the Lord brought Peter, James, and John up that mount, let us then pray with Johnson Oatman Jr. "I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I have found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lift me up. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." How long has it been since you've been there on higher ground with God? That's what the Lord did for the three disciples. As well as the pathway of Christ, we notice the promptings of Christ. It is interesting to compare the accounts of this event by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew states, "He bringeth them up into a mountain." Mark says, "He leadeth them up," Mark 9, verse 2. Luke says, "He took Peter and James and John and went up." He bringeth them up, He leadeth them up, He took them up. Remember, they were going to a prayer meeting. And in going to the prayer meeting, the Lord brought them. The Lord took them up. The Lord led them up. There's His promptings. He was prompting His disciples to go with them to the prayer meeting. Once again, when we go to the prayer meeting, when we go to meet with the Lord in prayer, we're always going up. For prayer takes us where to the place where the air is pure and ethereal. In light of this, isn't it interesting that the disciples had to be prompted to go to the prayer meeting? How often does your minister prompt you, exhort you, encourage you to go to the prayer meeting? It's rather strange, isn't it? That we have to be encouraged to go. We have to be prompted to go. He bringeth them, he leadeth them, he took them. The word bringeth here in Matthew 17, verse 1, is elsewhere translated carried. So you can read that there, that he carried them up. That word is translated carried in Luke 24, verse 57. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Same word. It is the Savior whom we need to bring us, to lead us, to take us to the place of prayer. And isn't it true? You can examine your own heart in this, in your own practice. Isn't it true that for some people to go to a prayer meeting, they would need the Lord to carry them? Such reluctance in going to a prayer meeting. The disciples, as it were carried up that mountain. The Lord brought them up that mountain. The Lord led them up that mountain. And surely if the Lord led them, they were willing to walk in the Savior's footsteps. And the Lord, when it comes to the prayer meeting, the Lord will lead us to the prayer meeting. Are we willing to walk in his footsteps? Are we willing to follow the Good Shepherd into the green pastures of prayer? Well, that's what the disciples did. Let us then pray, Lord, carry me. Lead me, bring me to that place of prayer that will give me a little foretaste of heaven. We also have the presence of Christ. It is evident that as the Lord went up the mountain to pray, he wanted the disciples to be with him. Mark records it as follows, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him. Peter, James, and John. Now, there were times when the Lord didn't take anyone. There were times that he spent the whole night in prayer by himself. And there, like the Lord, we need to spend times alone in prayer with him. But here on this occasion, we are told that he taketh with him. He wanted the disciples to be with him in the prayer meeting. You see, the Lord loves being with his people. Remember the direction that he gave regarding the eating of the Passover? He wanted to eat the Passover with his disciples. He wanted to celebrate that great night in Egypt, and he wanted to do it with the disciples. You see, believe the Lord enjoys our company. What do we have on over in the next chapter? In Matthew 18, verse 19, by the way, is our motto text for this year. 18 and verse 19. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. My and our little flock out in Port Hope, we have quoted that verse many, 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 many times. In this day and age of the mega churches, you're not a success unless you have a mega church. Well, I'm glad and I can say glory to God. Christ was happy to abide with the two and the three. Where the two and three are gathered together in my name, there am I. In other words, the Lord's already there. He's waiting for us to come to him. I'm already there, he's saying. I want you to come to me and join with me. In other words, the Savior was already there, waiting for his people. And when it comes to prayer meeting night, just you think. The Lord's at the prayer meeting, and I'm here sitting at home. Could I be in the prayer meeting? Could I be there? The Lord's at the prayer meeting and he's waiting for me to go and join him. How sad it is then when we don't go. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Waiting for us to enter into his presence. What do we read in Psalm 16, verse 11? Thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, the Lord showed these disciples the path up the mountain. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. No wonder Peter said, Master, Master, it is good for us to be here. Why would we get so critical of Peter? Yes, when he went on and started to talk about building tabernacles, well, we are told that he didn't know what he was saying. But you can understand why he felt. It was good, Peter said. It is good for us to be here, Mark 9, verse 5. Have you ever said that? And really, really meant it? At the end of the service, at the end of the prayer meeting, and able to say, Lord, it's been good for me to be here tonight. It's been so good. As well as the pathway and the promptings and the presence of Christ, we have the place with Christ. Each of the three evangelists tell us that the Lord led his disciples up into an high mountain. It is evident that Peter remembered that prayer meeting. Who wouldn't? Because he wrote about it in his second epistle. So he evidently remembered it. It had stayed in his mind. The events of that prayer meeting were written upon his heart. We can put it to the test. How many prayer meetings have you and I been in that we have said, I will never forget that prayer meeting? Have we ever been in a prayer meeting that the events of that prayer meeting were written indelibly upon our hearts and in our minds, and we've, even to this day, say, I'll never forget that prayer meeting? Our former moderator, Dr. Paisley, the Reverend John Douglas, and a couple of other men met one Friday night in the old Ravenhill Church for a men's prayer meeting. Well, they prayed all Friday night. Prayed into Saturday morning. They prayed all day Saturday. They prayed all Saturday night. And the prayer meeting didn't end until the sun rose up on the Sabbath morning. And I've heard the brethren talk about that prayer meeting. Even though it happened years ago, still talk about it. It's a prayer meeting to remember. Oh, believer, may God give us prayer meetings that we'll remember. Prayer meetings that live long in our hearts. Prayer meetings where the fear of God will descend, where the glory of God will fill the house, where we'll know and we'll feel and we'll experience the touch of the Master's hand. It's time to seek the Lord. Now there on eagle wings we soar, and sin and sense molest no more, and heaven comes down our souls to greet, and glory, glory crowns the mercy seat. Oh, for a prayer meeting like that. In describing what he saw and what took place on that holy mount, Peter says in his second epistle, in chapter 1 and verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and he received from God the Father honor and glory when they came. There came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him. With him, there it is. The Lord wanted to be with them, and they were with him. When we were with him in the holy mount. Peter described it as the holy mount, because holy things happened there, that prayer meeting. The holy mount. Why did he call it the holy mount? I'll tell you why. Because Christ was there. That's what made it the holy mount. Because heaven came down there. Because prayer was offered there. Because God manifested his power and his glory there. That made it the holy mount. Just like Moses. There was Moses minding the flocks on the backside of the desert. Backside of the desert. And then a bush began to burn. And he turned to see this great sight. And as he drew nigh to that sight, he heard a voice out of the bush saying, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Now Moses possibly had passed by that bush before, just like any other bush. But what made it holy ground? Because God was there. That's what made it holy ground. We meet for prayer in our building in Port Hope. It's a humble building, but I praise God for it. Just a plain, ordinary building of bricks and mortar. But when we meet for prayer, it becomes holy ground. Because the Lord's there. Praise his name. Where the two and three are gathered together in my name, there am I. He's pleased to meet with two or three people. Not only do we have the meeting with the Master, there's also here the majesty of the Master. It was while they were in the Holy Mount that we read, and he was transfigured before them. Regarding his majesty, we notice first of all the business of Christ. It is important for us to notice exactly when the Lord was transfigured before his disciples. Luke 9 and verse 29 tells us, "They went up into a mountain to pray, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered." As he prayed. The Lord Jesus was at the business of praying. That's good business to be involved in. And it was while he was carrying out this business of praying, that's when he was transfigured before them. And the fashion of his countenance was altered. What does this teach us? Teaches us that heaven responds to the prayers of Christ. We read in Luke 3, verses 21 and 22, that as the Lord Jesus was being baptized, he prayed. And as he prayed, the heavens opened. Spirit of God descended, and the voice of the Father was heard. As he prayed, the heavens opened. See, heaven responds to the prayers of Christ. And the prayers of Christ are always answered. And praise God, we have one in the glory who ever liveth to make intercession for us. So whatever the Lord is praying for us about, those prayers will be answered. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know we have such a one as Christ whose prayers are always answered, and he's praying for us. He's praying for me. The business of Christ. When we engage in that same business, heaven will respond. That text that is our motto text, "That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The verse begins with a reference to earth, and the verse ends with a reference to heaven. What is it that joins heaven with earth? Prayer. And then we have the blessing of Christ. The Lord brought his three disciples up the holy mount that he might bless them. You see, when the Lord leads us, brings us, if you like, carries us to the place of prayer, it is always for our benefit. It's for his glory and for our benefit. Look at verse 2. And he was transfigured before them. Now you can, through these verses that record this incident, and you'll find the word them referring to the disciples mentioned 7 times. He bringeth them, verse 1, up into an high mountain. He's transfigured before them, verse 2. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them. Verse 5, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. And verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them. You see, dear believer, when the midweek prayer meeting is announced and the preacher exhorts you to come to the house of prayer, it's for your benefit. The prayer meeting is for our benefit. The prayer meeting on that mountain was for the benefit of Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured before them. He spoke unto them. He appeared unto them. Prayer is always for our benefit. So when we miss the prayer meeting, we're missing out. We're missing out. Then you have the beauty of Christ. How thankful those disciples must have been that the Lord led them up into a mountain that day. Peter, in his epistle, we'll refer to it again if you turn back, please, forward to 2 Peter. And when Peter was describing this great event, he used a beautiful word, 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's how Peter described that prayer meeting and what he saw. He saw the majesty of Christ. But wait. That word majesty may be translated another way. The word majesty may be translated magnificence. There on that mount, at that prayer meeting, the disciples beheld the magnificence of Jesus Christ. What a prayer meeting! They saw the magnificence of the Lord. Why don't you love that word? When we go to the place of prayer, would we not pray with Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That word majesties, Luke 9, verse 43, is also rendered mighty, with reference to the mighty power of God. It's not what we need. We need the mighty power of God. We'll only find it at the place of prayer. Yea, the glory of our dear Redeemer, the beauty of Him who is altogether lovely. Whenever you think of what the disciples saw that day on that mount, and we went to the prayer meeting, or were told that the Lord was going to reveal Himself in all His majesty and magnificence, would we not say, Lord, carry me there. Lead me there. Bring me there. I must be there if I am to see the magnificence of Christ. In the last place, and very quickly, you have the men with Christ. Moses and Elias were the men with Christ. When the Savior was transfigured before them, verse 2, His face did shine as the sun. Just as the disciples saw Him in His glory, so we shall see Him in His glory one day. And with the glorified Savior, we'll be there with the glorified saints. Notice His company. Moses and Elias talking with Him. Isn't it interesting that the two men in their lifetime spoke about Christ? Luke 24, verse 27, represent the law. They spoke about Christ. They're now speaking with Christ. We speak about Christ. One day we'll speak with Christ face to face. The men that represent the law and the prophets, where Christ was found, now they're speaking with Him. Notice the two men are recognized, Moses and Elias. People wonder, will we recognize one another when we get to heaven? Yes, we will. Because these two saints are recognized. And they're given their names, Moses and Elias. And those loved ones who have gone on before, we'll recognize them and they'll recognize us when we get there. You have the conversation. Moses and Elias were talking with Him, and Luke tells us what they talked about, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish in Jerusalem. That word accomplish is the word that means fulfill or complete. What did they talk about? Talked about the finished work of Christ. That's what we'll talk about when we get to heaven, Revelation 5, verses 9 and 12. But isn't it interesting that this prayer meeting that Peter, James, and John attended, it brought them to the cross. Brought them to the cross. For they talked about what would be accomplished at Calvary. Notice the comparison. With this we'll close. Luke 9, verse 31, we read Moses and Elias appeared in glory. Moses and Elias appeared in glory. But then we read that when the Lord Jesus appeared in glory on the mount, we are told that He appeared in His glory or they saw his glory and the two men. You get the picture? When they didn't look upon Christ, they saw the two men in their glory. And when he turned their eyes on the Savior, they saw Christ in his glory, and they only saw two men. In other words, the glory of Christ outshines us all. When we stand with him in heaven as glorified saints, his glory will outshine the glory of every glorified child of God. When Samuel Rutherford came to die, the last words, the very last words he spoke were, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." And Ann Ross Cousins then took Rutherford's words and put them into a hymn. One of my favorite hymns. "There the red rose of Sharon unfolds its heartsome bloom and fills the air of heaven with ravishing perfume. Oh, to behold its blossom, while by its fragrance fanned, where glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. For the bride dyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze in glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. Because the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. O Father and our God, what a wonderful event that was on that mountain. For Peter, James, and John to see the Savior in all his glory, his majesty, his magnificence. Oh Lord, lead us to the prayer meeting. Bring us to the prayer meeting. And whenever necessary, carry us, Lord, to the prayer meeting. For if, Lord, if thou had not led Peter, James, and John and brought them to that prayer meeting, they would have missed a view of thy glory. And, oh, Lord, we know there's no telling what we'll miss if we're not at the place of prayer. Lord, give us prayer meetings like this throughout this year. Prayer meetings that we'll remember. Again, Lord, may thy blessing rest upon this congregation and all thy servants and office bearers. And Lord, make 2016 the year of revival. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away and we see him in all his glory. Amen.